Housing bonds have allowed several major North Carolina cities to start addressing the affordable housing crisis. Wilmington Mayor Bill Saffo recently told WHQR that residents could see one on the ballot in 2022. But how would it work? Asheville, Greensboro, and Raleigh have collectively passed over $100 million in housing bonds, long-term loans approved by voters on a local ballot. While these bonds have been critiqued by both progressives and conservatives, they have overall been fairly popular. In 2016, Asheville and Greensboro passed bonds with 71 and 68% of the vote. And in 2020, Raleigh passed its fourth housing bond with a record 72% approval. But once cities have the money, then what?
We, at the city of Asheville, kind of tried to define our role, which was first and foremost probably a funding source, and second, and just as important, probably the convener collaborator. Third, what real estate could we put into the mix as well? And then fourth is, what can we do about around our regulations and ordinances?
That's Paul D'Angelo, Asheville's Director of Community Development, who says it takes a whole range of tools to deal with housing, from federal tax credits to nonprofits like Habitat for Humanity, and from repurposing public land to finding ways to cut costs for developers. It's an approach he's honed over the last decade, including 8 years in Wilmington, advocating for affordable housing in both the public and private sector. And it's getting the private sector to come to the table that's perhaps the most important part of the housing puzzle. That's according to Stanley Wilson, who is D'Angelo's counterpart for the city of Greensboro.
Well, you know, the biggest and the only way really to tackle affordable housing is through public-private partnerships.
So how do cities get private developers, who could just as easily be building more profitable luxury apartments, to consider affordable housing projects? Wilson says Greensboro has to be flexible and not rely solely on the Reagan-era federal tax credit program that has, for decades, been the main funding source for affordable housing.
It's being open to do something different. And what I mean by that is, you know, their approach to affordable housing is a little bit different in the fact that they don't want to apply for tax credit deals. They're not looking at it that way. So it's really trying to create a mechanism that will work, help meet some of their goals, but also to not make it as regulated.
D'Angelo says it's about money, something he took away from a recent affordable housing presentation.
The developer stood up and said, if you want affordable housing, you need to write us a check. And like, you know, laughter in the room, but like I took away from it later that night thinking about it was it's about that subsidy. It's about the money that needs to be made available.
Of course, using taxpayer money to incentivize developers is bound to have its critics, but it also works. To understand how it works, consider Asheville's cost for directly subsidizing a single unit from market rate to what's considered affordable for someone making 60% of the median income.
So when you do that math of $400 a month for 12 months for 20 years, it's like $96,000. So who's going to come up with that?
Working with private developers, D'Angelo says Asheville has generated around 370 affordable units over the past year and a half, at an average investment of $36,000 each. That's less than half of the cost of directly supporting a renter. D'Angelo says he's proud of those numbers, but they represent just 10% of Asheville's affordable housing needs, and the city, like many others, still struggles to address home ownership. But rather than being daunted, he hopes that Asheville's early successes encourage cities like Wilmington to go big. Take, for example, Raleigh's $80 million housing bond, which the city successfully passed on top of a recurring 1 cent tax that generates over $6 million annually for affordable housing. Larry Jarvis, Raleigh's Housing and Neighborhoods Director, says the ambitious price tag will allow the city to map affordable housing development on top of its new transit plan.
The housing bond really was in response to the implementation of the WAIT transit plan. The initial phases of the transit plan are kind of anchored by four bus rapid transit corridors. What council wanted to do was to make sure that we were ahead of those transit improvements and that we particularly look at opportunities to acquire sites now for future affordable housing development so that we could ensure that we had affordable housing near those transit investments. The whole idea and the whole concept is equitable development around transit.
Wilmington is a long way from a project of that scale or scope, but as the conversation moves forward, at least some are bound to measure local success by what our fellow North Carolina cities have done so far.